Yo, you know what's fucking wild? I finally figured out the reference to Bridgerton. Remember a few weeks ago, you started asking, like, if you could go back to any era, which era would it be and why?
Yeah, but I wasn't implying Bridgerton, but that's what Ranjit said. That's why I
Yeah,
started laughing.
but I was so confused because I have no idea what Bridgerton was,
Oh,
right? So I was like,
okay.
I was just trying to play it cool. And then my wife has been binging this West show for the last few weeks, and I had no idea what
Yeah,
show it was.
I hate that show.
I literally walked downstairs one day and it was on. I'm like, is this, are you
Oh, I get
rewatching Downton Abbey or something? She's like, nah, it's
it. Yo,
Bridgerton.
Downton Abbey is pretty sick, man. I don't mind Downton
I only got into Downton Abbey. I didn't realize I would.
Yeah, man. Same with me. I'm like, I ain't gonna watch that. Put it on. I'm like, yo, this ain't bad.
I don't know why I got into it, but I did. And then I'm like, oh no. She's like, this is Bridgerton. I was like, Bridgerton. And I started chuckling. She's like, why are you chuckling? I'm like, oh, Robbie and Ranji, their wives make them watch this shit. She's like, what do you mean they make them? I'm like, I don't know. They Robbie brought it up. I had no idea what Bridgerton was.
No, Ranji brought it up. I didn't bring it. I was talking about Taboo. You know that move, the show Taboo with
Tom Hardy.
Tom Hardy. But it's the same era, same kind of genre, right?
Yeah, but
So.
then I don't know. Then I was like watching the Bridgerton. I'm like, this universe is cool. And I guess having what I realized is cool about Bridgerton's, it's a make-believe era because it's not a real era because there's no racism. They
Yeah,
intermingle race so much. And I'm like, I was so confused. I'm like, so the black queen kings and queens, they have duchesses who have black slaves. I don't get it. Like, no, this show
It's like
kind
an
of gets rid
alternate
of race. It's
reality.
a utopia of race in that time
I
period.
don't know, man. I ain't down with
And
that.
and I was.
I like the historical stuff, so I ain't
I
down
was
with
just so confused. I'm like, so, and then there was an Indian couple on that show, and I'm like, hold on, the white people are dating the Indians, and that's all copacetic. No one's talking about race. Yeah, they're like, racism doesn't exist in this universe. We're well beyond that. But I'm like, but wealth inequality exists. She's like, yeah, they
Exactly.
still have that, but they don't got race. So I was like, okay.
Yeah, sure.
Then I was like, huh. And then she's like, I know you might like the show. You like that Downton Abbey, and you didn't like it at first. I was like, yeah, but at this point, I just feel like a punk watching this, so I'm not going to.
Just talking? Well, what's the show about? It's about nothing. It's about nothing.
Just want these guys to know you got another thing coming, bitch. I'm still around.
Loki, I might just go back. I've been watching. Bel-Air still freaking smacks. I don't know why I
I
talked
still have,
trash.
honestly, after I told you guys, I never watched it again, to be honest with you. I just,
Yo, I'm just
yeah, I
totally
just
still
dropped it. I'm
digging.
like, you don't have time,
I still dig Bel-Air. That show's been getting better. Have you watched the new Halo show?
No, I'm gonna wait a few episodes and sit down and I'll
It's at
catch up.
episode three. I'm digging that show too. Production
I
quality
just
on
fin
that show. This show's getting a lot of
finished,
hate though.
yeah, but any of those like fanboy shows get hate, right? You're gonna have the haters and people who love it, so. Billions. I'm caught up on that. That's probably the one I've
Was
been
it?
watching.
I
But
fell off on Billions. I need to go back to it.
it's just an easy watch, right? It's like you need one of those shows where you're like you just put it on. I don't even care what happens.
It wasn't even that
It's
easy,
fine.
but okay. So I'll go back to Billions. But talking about
I felt like,
Billions,
yeah,
look, don't
billions
get
and billions and billions.
Billions and Billions and Billions. Billions is the new Millions. Federal budget had a lot of Billions in it.
Lots of billions, man. Lots of billions. You
What
didn't do the
were?
intro. You just
Oh
jumped
yeah.
into it.
It
No
was
intro
good.
today.
All right, I have Dr. Rajveer, Dr. Robbie, Dr. Robbie. Please,
just Rob. I'm good with Rob.
Dr. Rob, please don't give away my real name and my real practice. Dr. Rob on my left. I'm Shinda Singh. As you will notice,
There you
there is
go.
no Ranji
Ranji.
Esquire.
Ranj. No, Ranj. Ranj. We
No
established that
Ranji
his name
Esquire.
is Ranj. Ranj is
Not
actually
Ranch,
currently
but
not
yeah.
Ranch the dressing, just Ranj. Not Rash, Ranj. Ranjit's currently gone into, I believe it's Istanbul, to get a hair transplant. So I'm sure he'll be back,
Isn't that
looking
where they
more fuller
take
than ever.
hair transplants? I remember hearing that, or I don't know if someone was trolling, but they take like hair from some nether regions and transplant it. Was that
If
true?
he has that, maybe, I don't know. We'll have to ask him when he comes back. So I'm
I
sure it's
remember,
going to be a
I don't
very
know if
detailed
someone was
story.
chirping. Like, I know nothing about hair transplants. God willing, I have a great set of hair, but I remember someone saying they're like, yo, when you get a hair transplant, they take it from your nether regions because the hair there is different, or I don't know. I don't know if it was a
I
chirp or if
mean
it was
it's
real.
I'm assuming they take cells, right? So that makes sense. Why not? You know?
So yeah,
But
Ranji's
yeah,
getting a hair.
we'll ask him, right? I don't think this is going to age well when I'm bald in 10 years, so I'll just put that out now.
It's kind of impressive you haven't bald so far.
I man, I thought I was going, man. I got like this widow's peak, and it's been okay.
You know what's weird is when people start balding in you first year uni. That's when it really starts to hit people who have like that genetic
Yeah.
thing.
Or you kind of feel bad for them, really.
Like
You know?
they peaked at
Like
high
I think
schools
like
and
you
after
actually feel bad for their alopecia, not like Jada.
so much is coming out about that Jada thing. But yeah,
But
so
yeah,
you
man.
notice Ranj is not here because he's getting
He's
a hair transplant in Istanbul.
Yeah, Istanbul.
Wishing him the best. It's a very hard and tough procedure. So.
I heard it's painful, man. But honestly, I would do it. Like I'm always critical of a lot of that stuff, but something about hair, man. You need to
You
have it.
gotta have. You know, the
You
worst
gotta
is
have it.
when Singh's bald, it's like they're losing their identity.
Yo, my I feel bad for them. Like all my uncles in India, all of them, they're bald, so they have the little good. They're holding up to that little gutti, right? But it's
I
it's your
know a
identity,
lot
man.
of
You do
Singhs who
you.
are bald underneath their dystatic, but you would never be able to tell. But I've seen most
Like,
Singhs
hold
without
on.
their
Like,
dystatic.
are they like bald, like no hair, or is it kind of like
They got
a bald?
they got the tiny little gutti.
Oh, they've actually lost the volume of their hair.
They've lost so much volume that when they take Yeezy, their hair doesn't go back. Like whatever hair they have left doesn't extend past their neck.
And how old are these gentlemen you're talking about?
Our age, 40s, 30, late 30s, mid 30s.
Okay, that's hard, man. Because that's your like identity,
So
right?
there's I'm at that weird place where I have, see, I'm gonna curse myself, so I'm just gonna stop talking about it. But like, these are the guys who like look at me like, oh my God, what do you do? I'm like, not castor oil. They're like, I'm on the castor oil thing. And I'm like,
What
what?
tail are you using?
Yeah, no, castor oil? I didn't even realize this is a thing. People legit take castor
Well,
oil to
wait,
rub it on their scalp too.
so that's interesting. I mean, if you are wearing
Other
the
static.
stod all the time, does it matter?
I mean, technically no, but I think some people's identity is so like tied into having long hair that at some point you just kind of feel like, oh man, I don't like looking in the mirror. I look twice as old.
Like
I
I know all the
think.
men in my family are doing they're bald at the top, so they're growing it long and then tying it around. So it
I feel
looks
like
like you have
that.
a goatee, you know. Like a
Yeah.
lot of them are doing that because they have the side hair. But yeah, man,
I mean, hair is one of those things.
if I was tying it, like I know some guys who go bald and they start tying panga,
Just to
like
hide
they go
it.
the other way, yeah, just to hide it, right? So that's another
I
issue.
always wonder how hard it would be to tie it without, because you lose that friction. Because your hair actually helps keep it in place, right?
But isn't that what the 50 is about? Like if they wear a patka and a 50, that's kind of going to keep it
Yeah, but like even
secure
the
to some
patka
degree.
without it, yeah, it does. But I don't know, like sometimes I try tying the knot on Monday and stuff, and I'm like, you guys have no juta for me to like wrap it around and hope give it shape
It's
and.
a skill, man, because like I've tried learning and my bug's not very good, right? Like you try, right?
Yeah.
Like it's a skill that I want to know. So whatever, I have my own way of tying it, but it's not good. Hands down, it just doesn't look. It's not a bug I would present to someone. So my sister's wedding was 2 years ago, and I met another guy, and he ties it for free, and he takes donations.
That's pretty
He's a
dope.
local, yeah, he's a local real estate agent. So he
All right,
goes,
we
just
gotta plug
donate what
him.
you want.
You gotta plug him.
I forgot his name. I'm gonna get his name though. I'll bring it next week.
Just so much for plugging this guy. Guy's doing straight up seva, helping people tie this knot
Yo,
and not
awesome!
charge.
I was so impressed by him,
You know how many people have started actual
and.
businesses doing this now? They're like charging
Yeah,
money for it.
so he just takes the money and donates. He does like charity back home. I'm pretty sure he was a Munna, but he knows how to tie it. Like he has that skill
That's
that
even
he
more
can tie it
wild.
on anybody, right? So I was like,
You
yo,
know
this
what's
guy,
wild
that's
about that?
talent, yeah.
I know Singhs who are charging money to tie the status, and here you have a Mona tying the star for free. This
Because
world
he
is
is balling. He
backwards.
doesn't. He doesn't. He doesn't need the money.
This world is changing, man. Yeah, I thought it would.
That's messed up when
That's
you say
blown
it
my
that way.
mind. Think
That's
about
messed
it.
up. Shame
But
on all you
yeah,
sings out there.
charging money
Shame.
for the stars. Yeah, fuck.
Shame. Yeah, that should be free.
That should be something Gordo has classes for. Actually, now that I think about it,
That's
seeing as how everything that Gordo has
No, there
volunteer
are, but
based,
there are people
should probably
doing that
step up to that.
volunteer. They're doing like the bug tying classes and all that. That's all free. So there are
Yeah.
people doing that save out there.
Low-key, I don't think anyone's trying to learn how to tie my bug. I think I've been chipped about how messy my dystat is since I was 12. I just never.
You know what's crazy? I actually understand how someone can tie a tutti bug after studying it. I do not understand how you guys tie gold bugs.
It's easy. It's.
I know it's easy, but I've just never even paid attention. So it's like, man, that's impressive. Yo, Jagmeet's is like, like multiple there. Like that takes skill, man, doesn't it?
So I used to live with a roommate once back in school who tied a very Jagmeet-esque pug. And the way they tied it, I think this isn't true for Jagmeet because I think he has a pug tutorial video. But this guy literally, each lud was its own piece. So it's like
Wow.
made up of multiple 50s almost. And
That
it was
seems
so.
very time intensive.
I
That
was watching him tie it. I was like, bro, what the fuck are you doing? Because the thought wasn't just like one like continuous piece of cloth.
Yeah, one piece. It was just
It
separate
was like
pieces.
he had like 40 separate pieces that he tied in the back. I was like, and I was just so confused at that time. Like, because I've
But
been tying like all the stuff.
at the same time, I'm all for that individual style. Go for it, man. Make it your own, right?
But I was like, bro, who taught you tied it this way? Because you're doing it. I'm like, you can get that same look without having the 50 individual pieces. And I'm like, the wind blows your puncture, it's coming off. Coming off, not freaking like at one knot that you can retie. Like, hold on,
Oh,
here's
that's
my
funny.
fourth 50th
This
lud.
confetti, just confetti in the
It's so wild. I was so confused. It's like one of those things that you didn't realize people did differently until you actually lived with someone. And then I was like,
Yeah, fair enough. But that's with anything, any mannerisms you having roommates is weird actually. You know, because it's mad weird because you start to learn about little, differences and things you do, and it could be the slightest thing, but they can irk you, right? Like that has no bearing on your life, but you watched it, you're like, yo, this is this bugs me. It bugs me how you do something, right?
It
So
was so strange because I think when I first moved out to university, obviously that was my first time really living away from home.
yeah.
And then I moved in with a bunch of Punjabis. And then you realize how different everyone's like routine is. Because you think, yo, at six, we all have a set routine. And growing up with all my cousins and stuff, I slept over. We all had very similar routines,
Yeah.
right? So you kind of expect everyone maybe kind of does everything in the same way.
Nah.
Then when I moved in with my roommates, they were also Sikh, they were also Punjabi. A lot of them were, one or two were Amritdharis, some were in the process of taking Amrit. So I'm like,
Yeah.
okay, their lifestyle is going to be a little bit, similar to mine because we're all. But even then, it was so much different. I was like, hey. And
Yeah, but
I wasn't
it's
trying to be judgmental.
weird,
I just thought
right?
it was different. And I'm picking
But
up on it.
that's anything we do, right? There's little habits that bug us, but I think living with someone just highlights the things. It can make you a better person. There's that side of it too, things that
You pick things up.
and things that you're not good at. But it's funny how the little things can bother you so much. It's like, when I had one roommate, he would just put the forks in the wrong, like just in the wrong
What
spot, and nothing big,
do
but
you
it would
mean, wrong spot?
piss.
Like, he had a
That's
different
just
spot for it
like
than what you were used to, or
different,
he'd just like throw it
right?
up? It'd be
Different. It's
bad
just
if you had
different.
a set thing and then he'd constantly put the forks, just throw them wherever they went. That would be a super annoying. Like, if you didn't adhere to your set.
Yeah. And no, but it was just different. It's like, you go and it wasn't the fact of the action, but it's reminding you that someone else is doing it another way. And so you get more irked about the idea than the actual action, right? So, that would bother me a lot. But yeah, man, living with people is interesting, but so when I went to the UK, you had roommates, so I lived with all different types of people, Gore, Punjabi, so on and so forth. And then at one point I was working in a town and I had to find a place to live very, very quickly. And I met some Punjabis just literally walking down the street and I just said hi. I'm like, how are you guys doing? Struck up a conversation. And they were just like students here and they're like, yo, why don't you come live with us? And I entertained the idea and I don't know why I did. Dude, they brought me over. It's like 40 guys in a house. I'm like, yo, I can't do this. I just can't. It doesn't matter how many Punjabi, I just can't do it, man. I'm out. Love you, but I can't. I'm sorry. Just when you've gone through it, you can't do it anymore. So that was the last time. I never had a roommate after that, actually. So,
I never had bizarre roommates. My first group of roommates was the most epileptic. My second year roommates, that was when I lived with Ranji. He probably thought I
yeah.
was a weird one because I think I freaking embarrassed this guy so many times. Like, he'd bring like people over, and Ranji, I don't know if you guys know Ranji. Ranji's very friendly with everyone, so he'd
Yeah,
have like girl.
he's a mama, everyone's mama.
Yeah, he's everyone's mama. This guy'd bring it was me and another friend who I won't say out of sheer embarrassment for him. He brought two girls over that he was going out with later that night to pick up some other friends with, and the girls came over first to grab Ranji because they had the car, and they came into our friggin' apartment, and me and this other guy were just sitting there in our gut. Our Keshet and Banan, right? And that's a normal thing for Singh. If you know a Singh house, well,
Straight
Singhs
up,
just
normal.
live in the Keshet most of the time. So we're sitting there in our Kacha Banan and we're just watching the Raptors. And we didn't really have a sofa, so we're sitting on like lawn chairs, I think, is what we had. And then two girls came and we're like, well, this is awkward. Because he didn't tell us that, you know, he's bringing people over. So we're just sitting there. We just kind of nodded at them.
Yeah, you just ignored the whole situation. Like, what are you going to do?
And they were in this awkward place. Like, do we wait in the living room? And he's like, no, you guys can wait in this, in my room while I get ready. And then I remember after he left, he was like, holy fuck, can you guys please put a shirt on next time? We're like, yo, we're too far gone. They've already arrived. Yeah. And it wasn't even like a clean banana at the time, right? It was like a stained banana for both of us.
Yo, but it's not even the cachet. Everybody lives that life. Boxer briefs, boxers, all guys are doing it. It doesn't have to be cachetta per se, but, you know, if you don't expect someone to come over like that, yeah, it's going to happen.
Like the door open, we're just sitting there eating dinner, watching the Raptors. We literally like nodded. I think they were like, what
just
the fuck?
And just closed the door slowly, like, yeah, see you later.
The weirdest thing I had a roommate do, and I don't know if this was weird, but really, it was, we were watching a movie and he kept fast-forwarding through all the dialogue.
That's weird.
I was like, why do you keep fast-forwarding? He's like, this is all the boring stuff. I just want to see the action scenes. And I was like, bro, when we say we're going to watch a movie, I imply that we want to watch the whole movie, not just like the clips. And he's like,
that's someone who hasn't learned social, like has never been in a proper social setting. And you're sitting with someone, you start fast forwarding a movie. That's weird.
I was kind of like,
he's a weirdo. That guy was weird. Why would you do that?
He low key was a bit weird. Cause there he had some other, I mean, what was another thing that we did? He insisted that lion milk can only be held in a gold baka. So what, don't ask me about lion's milk.
Lion.
Like, first off, I don't know who's milking a lion and having lion milk, right? Like, does someone have like a lion in the back that they're milking?
I thought it was a brand you're talking about, but you're being serious. No. An actual, like, from a lioness. Okay.
From a lioness. This guy had somehow concocted that if you milk a lioness and you have the milk, it can only be held in a gold bata. Otherwise, it's so acidic and so like pure that it's going to burn through everything else. And we're like, and this became such a like a hotly debated thing in our household that night. Like we had four guys, all of them sitting around, just really trying to make sure that we didn't misunderstand him, that it wasn't some folklore, that he was like dead serious. Like, brother, trust me. I've seen it. I'm like, who have you seen milk a lion? He's like, you haven't? I was in such shock that first off that we're having this conversation with him. But the fact that we couldn't break it to him that, dude, and you know what? It's not even, this guy was in engineering, so he understood, you know, he had chemistry background. He has chemistry courses in his like syllabus or whatever. So like, it was just like, you're in STEM, bro.
Was it doing it from like a religious, view? Like, because lions are, and like that kind of sense? Or is he kind of like being serious, like as, no, this is an actual fact from science?
No, I think he was coming at it from, it's an actual fact from science with a big tinge of Punjabi culture applied to it. Not religious, just lions are the most dominant creature and they're so strong that even their milk can't be held. But he was like arguing it from like a scientific point of view that we were just so...
I mean, if we're wrong, I think that's pretty cool, but I don't think we are. So
one off, who has a gold bata really friggin' test? And two, why would gold? No, why would gold, one of the softest metals, be the metal that can actually hold?
Yo, look, I ain't gonna pretend I even remember the chemistry, but the story sounds ridiculous. Yo, I had a dude on a couch. That's my favorite story. I actually had a guy living on our couch for half a semester. Yeah, man, he had his own place to live. He just wanted to live on our couch for some reason.
He's just like, every day he would
say, I don't know. Literally. Yeah, well, I lived with a bunch of Sings the first year, so maybe he just wanted to be around the Sings. But I never understood it. I'm like, yo, you don't have a place of your own? You need to go home, man.
You're like, you're clearly not contributing to rent, so.
I didn't really even care about that. It was just hilarious, man.
Here's a real question for you. Were you a frozen roti guy?
Oh, not frozen, because I would bring them fresh and keep them in the fridge. So not really frozen.
But your mom the weekend before would do all your roti and sabji and like send it?
Just my first semester. After that, no. I never really ate roti at school. We'd have a lot of rajma chol. That would be like rice and chol and stuff like that. But roti, no.
So you weren't big on the grocery. Like I was when I went to university, I was like, yo, we gotta do groceries, we just gotta, but I was doing mostly sidekicks and like potatoes. But I'm
To
like,
be
yo, I
fair,
can't do the frozen
honestly,
stuff.
so I went to Waterloo for my undergraduate. That wasn't moving away. Being an hour from your house is not you moving on your own because you literally will revert back to the comforts of home, like food, for example, right? But living, when I lived abroad, I would never, no, I'd do naan. Like it would be naan and the parote and stuff like that, but never really got into the frozen things because it's not the same, right? It's not
Yeah.
even close. Yeah.
No,
But
I had a few.
I would go to a restaurant and just grab,
Oh, okay. I mean, I didn't
yeah,
have enough
like
money for
gropiah or
that.
whatever.
You clearly
It's not
were
that
balling,
expensive.
right?
Yeah,
There
right.
was no Uber Eats back then, man. Actually going to the restaurant meant left actually meant I had to leave the house, which just wasn't happening.
No, Glasgow was cool because there was a bunch of Indian restaurants and I got to know some of the workers and some of the tandoor chefs because they were just illegals working and I would just talk to them and then once in a while I would take them out for a coffee or something. And if I'd walk in the restaurant, they'd tell the guy downstairs he'd make me fresh roti and I'd dip home.
Any
So that's what
day.
I would do.
That's
Yeah, that's what I
that's
did.
love right
So
there, man.
that was the kind of link I had. It wasn't I was sitting down at the restaurant, but I would just say, hey, can you cook me up
Cook me up.
something? Or if I would actually go sit in the restaurant and I go, Paji, like I start talking to them and they'd actually make me like proper, like home style Punjabi food.
So you
Cause I
actually
didn't
had
want to
like
eat the.
you had the tiffin service without the tiffin
No.
service.
Fair enough.
Like
Yeah,
you
but
they
you got
would
to
just
talk
hook
to
it up,
people, right?
right? I
Yeah,
mean,
they were nice
that was my
enough.
problem. I don't talk to people. But moving back to what we were originally going to talk about before you rudely interrupted me on
Rudely interrupted you.
rudely interrupted me on introductions, by the way. I was
Talking
just
about being
listening.
broke. Let's talk about our country.
Yeah, talking about being broke, the federal budget. What were your thoughts? Anything stand out?
Stand out. We're spending a lot. That's what's standing out. I mean, there's obviously a bunch of points in there. Where do you want to start? You want to start with housing? What's your
Housing
thought on
was
the
the only thing I
housing
really looked
initiatives?
at. We're giving $500 to everyone looking to buy a house. The fuck is that?
Great. A lot of help, man. A lot of help. Yeah,
What was the total? It was like almost 800, $400 million that we're gonna end up spending doing that?
and
Half a billion?
even the account that they're opening up,
The
the
tax-free
savings account.
savings?
So it's what is it? 40,000 max. I forgot how many a year contributions, but what's a person gonna do with that? That's not gonna change your ability to buy saving only 8 grand a year. Let's be real, when the houses are 1 point something million, what are you gonna save? How is that really going to, offset unless you start saving right when you're like, 18 and
18.
keep, keep putting into that account? Fine. Now you got, n now you maybe
Hold
have
on,
the
is that
potential to
account,
have the savings.
that account's maxed at 40?
That's what they said, 40,000, but it's up to 40 years of age as well.
So
So you only
if,
have a short window of time. So for
so
me, I'm
if,
like, oh, that doesn't matter to me.
that's
Like
where
anybody in
wrong.
my friends, they're like, yeah, like what's the point, right?
Yeah, there
So,
were some other things in there that were kind of weird. Hold on, I'm just looking this up. I have this open in my notes. Here we go. So you talked
well,
about
the foreign buyers. That's a
that was
big
a
point.
the foreign buyer
Yeah.
thing. I always thought was a little weird in that one, how much is foreign buying actually affecting our market?
Yeah.
I know
I
it's
mean,
been something
is it
that
more of a hot is it more of a hot topic? Is that something people just say as soon as we start talking about the real estate market, saying, "Oh, it's foreign buyers."
100%.
So was it just easy for them to say, "Okay, let's cancel and have a win,"
Yeah,
right?
because, and I know we had this whole thing a long time ago where everyone, CBC was doing documentaries on Vancouver's empty mansions that were
Yeah.
owned by foreign buyers, but they
Foreign
show the
buyers.
same two mansions almost every single time, right? So it's like, hold on, you have two of these cases that you're now extrapolating and making
Look,
up big in
it's a big deal because I mean I guess foreign money's now
banned
I
from
mean
the
with
real estate
foreign money,
market.
yeah, I mean real estate markets. So there's not a way to clean your money, if you will, by investing and selling a house a few years later. Will it cool the market?
I don't think so. Just
Well,
because I
maybe
don't think it was that big of
momentarily.
a problem.
Well,
That's.
I think the interest rates is going to be the more interesting aspect of it. If the interest rates keep going up, your ability to get a mortgage and so on and so forth is going to get harder. That will
100% agree with
release,
that.
yeah,
But
that'll stagnate the
that's not in the
market. But
budget. That's outside of the budget.
what I thought would have been cool is okay, first ban foreign buyers. So my point was that if let's say for example the number of foreign buyers is a large enough number to make a difference. What I thought would have been cool is if they took those foreign buyers and gave them a tax break to sell their houses. You can't buy again, but if you want to sell, we won't tax you. Right?
That so take them. Sounds really smart.
Now these guys want to get out. Hey, guess what? There's a lot of supply. All of a sudden, some people can get some houses, and then you move on, right? So there's ways. Like I was like, okay, you could do this, you could do that, but what's that actual number? And the question is, why don't they release that? What is the number of foreign occupied homes in Toronto?
Here's the thing with foreign buyers, because I remember they increased the taxation on foreign buyers not too long ago, and by not too long ago, I think this was like 6 years ago. Time just kind of melds into itself for me. But one of the big things was, okay, so now you can't buy straight up as a foreign buyer, but you can buy through a company who specializes in
a corporation.
Yeah.
There you go. There's too many loopholes, right? So like it's like money's still going to come in. They're just going to find a new way of doing it, right?
And
so,
that's the one thing about politics that I think a lot of people don't pick up on early is a lot of policies come about when the actual effect of the policy is so small that they're like, it's an easy way for us to say we're doing something without actually doing something.
Exactly. But isn't that all politics?
That's 90% of what politics. It's just being able to market what you're doing without having done anything.
Look at the Dougler, the amount of announcements that guy's making. It's like he hasn't worked that hard in 4 years. Hey, why don't you make them during your, all of a sudden, right?
Hold on. That's because he knows that people only remember the last few things you do right before an election.
So now are you doing it? Are you doing it for the sake of the betterment of the province or for the sake of I'm going to announce it so I win again?
I mean, look.
You're calling politics. That's politics.
He has 4 years to accomplish the things he says he's going to accomplish. Whether he does them year one, whether he does them year two, whether he does them, matter. As long as they happen within those 4 years. He can say this happened within that 4 years.
Mind you, they took some of his wind out of his sails, if you will, with this foreign buyer ban because, you know, that was the news last week. Oh, he put this, you know, tax on it. And then all of a sudden, hey, no more foreign buyers. And everyone's like, oh, we forgot he even did that. So kind of, you know, the budget wasn't too nice on him on that. So, you know.
All right, fair enough. Another thing they did that was interesting was the blind bidding.
I didn't know. So why don't you give some context because I didn't read that.
So let me pull up an actual supported comment here. But basically right now what happens is realtors get bids on homes.
Yes.
And they're like, give us all your offers and we'll release at a certain point which one we take. They're kind of saying, no, you can't. You have to tell us what the current bid is on a house. And like, it shouldn't just be this one process. So everyone, they're kind of like, if I'm buying a house and they have an offer.
Yeah.
Even if they're taking offers at the end of a certain point, they should be releasing what those bids are and making it more like a fair auction.
Transparency. So that's what we're saying. It has to be more transparent.
A little bit more transparent rather than me saying, oh, well, he has an offer. All right, I'm going $200,000 over or something.
Yeah, right? The best is Paddy, you know, 100,000, Paddy, you get the house and you're kind of like, 100,000? That's
They're like, let's make it work like eBay. We only move the thing up to the dollar higher.
Yo, but I had a cool idea with that too. What if they, you know, what if we invent a system, a bidding system for houses where your bids are tracked, kind of something like blockchain, let's say, and everything's transparent. You know, you see who the bid's coming from as you selling the house. You see everything come in and you get to decide. And if it's the last 10 bidders, you put them in a room and hey, you guys are the last 10, go for it. And it's just clear, right? Just like any auction. What's with the secrecy? You know, if you go to buy a classic car, you're finding out what the bids are from all over the world on the phone. If they can manage it in the span of 5 minutes when they sell a car, how can we not figure this out for a $1.2 million transaction on a house? It doesn't make sense, but the advantage is to the real estate agent, you know, all the smoke and mirrors is just going to elevate that price, you know, keep it transparent. And I don't know if it's going to bring down the housing market, but maybe it'll make that process a little bit more, I don't know, easy to swallow, if you will, not as, you know, I haven't heard people coming out of a buying process lately, not being bitter, you know,
because they're like, I felt like I overpaid when I paid, but I was like, I actually bid less than what the advertised rate was. So it's not like I paid more at that time. And I got it, but I still felt like I overpaid. I was like, damn.
Yeah, because you felt like it's wrong for me. It's not even overpaying, right? Like, so when I bought my house, I did not want to do the bidding war. I was like, I can't do that. I don't have the, you know, I would get really upset about that because I don't understand the concept. Why am I paying? If the listing price is this, why do you want me to dump in 200K? Like, it doesn't, that portion of it I just don't like. So, you know, luckily I bought at a time when there was a bit of a dip, and I was able to make my conditions and house inspection and all this, right? And that process for me was nice. I can't imagine buying now, and I feel sorry for people. Right,
you know, because what sucks is you can't even put a home inspection on. That's the first thing you have to just.
That's the thing. So, like, the process. If we're saying, you know, real estate agents are very big on over-regulated professionals and XYZ, and mortgage agents will say, "Well, we're professionals." If you're professionals, then you should be held to the same accountability that I am in my job. You know, if you do something shady, you know, there's a college to complain to, because there's transparency and you can't hide behind it. So why don't we just make it transparent?
Well, I saw one message that's been circulating Facebook, and obviously once it gets posted on Facebook, it makes its way into all of my WhatsApp groups. It was basically a guy shitting on one of the Punjabi realtors in Brampton.
Yeah.
And he had written this post on a lawyer's public Facebook page.
Oh.
Because he was kind of like courting the lawyer for advice on his situation, and that's where it got shared from. And he was basically like, look, the realtor and the mortgage agent made me buy a house that I can't afford. Mm. Not buy the house, but like agree on a house. Say, yeah. And he told him, like, look, I can't get a mortgage. This is the most I can do, a down payment, and et cetera, et cetera. And then the realtor's like, don't worry, you'll get your mortgage. We know how to make it happen. And then after they like close the deal, they're like, well, get your mortgage, because otherwise you're going to be held on the down payment part, or like the whatever. The deposit that you agreed to. And this guy's like, I told you guys ahead of time that this is all I could do, and you guys told me, don't worry about it. We got you.
Yeah, yeah.
And obviously what the game, I don't know if you guys know how the game works here, is realtors and mortgage agents will say that, and when time comes to close, they'll be like, second mortgage, 20%. We'll get it done.
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't want to do that. You guys conned me. So he's trying to see if he can like...
It all depends on... I wish we had the lawyer here, but he's too busy with his hair issues, but he could explain that to us. But I mean, the way I look at it is that another solution would be to be more stringent on the mortgage approval process. You know, if we're coming up with QR codes for vaccines and are able to link everything, and you can't emulate with Photoshop, surely we can do that with our CRA papers. And once that's done, hey, guess what? Those Photoshop mortgage agents. It ain't happening anymore. So there is ways they can do it. But look, everyone's in on it. The problem is no one's defaulted.
I mean, the banks the creditors are on it too.
Everyone's on it, right?
So they're just like, give us what we need. Yeah.
Everyone's making money. But the minute it all crashes, and they're going to turn around and point fingers like Spider-Man, like, whose fault is it? You know, is it you? Is it you? So.
All right. So what you think? I'm going to read some of these things. Let me know what else. So the first time home buyer's tax credit, they're going to increase that?
Yeah.
The budget doubles the first-time homebuyer's tax credit to $10,000, which will result in a benefit of up to $1,500 to support homebuyers.
Cool.
First-time homebuyer's incentive extension. The government has extended the first-time homebuyer incentive from its original expiration. Yeah. What? Hold on. Government has approved $270 million in mortgages. I don't know what that means. Have you heard of this one?
I didn't look. The only one that I took out of that, the housing stuff, was the tax credit they're going to be giving for renovations to allow multiple generation homes. So they're going to be providing 15% tax. No, any renovation. So basically, if you have someone 65 and older, or someone who's dependent or disabled, I believe, and you do renovations to allow them to live with you, there's going to be a tax credit for those renovations. Okay. And when I read that, I'm like, that's great. But I'm like, you know, Desi Bramptons are going to be all built up. Everyone's going to use those credits, right? So
hold on.
I was like, you know, so that's one of the things. I thought that was cool. So it's good, but we'll see how it
They're going to increase the taxation on property flippers.
That's
so
fair. If you flip a stock and you pay tax, surely when you flip a house, you should pay tax.
So the thing with houses was if it's your primary residence within 12 months, you're not allowed flipping it. Or 6 months, I think it was 8 months or something prior.
Yeah.
So if you bought a house and you had to hold it for 6 months at least before, if you sold it within 6 months, you'd have to pay capital gains on that.
Unless it's like some reason, right? Like a job relocation and you could prove it. Surely there's that.
Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if the government was just like, you just got to rent it for those, that outstanding thing.
Yeah.
But you had to have that as your address for a few months before. Because I remember when we bought our condo, that was a big thing on how long did we have to own it before we could start renting it out or selling it as an investment
Really?
property. Yeah. So
Yeah.
we actually stayed there for almost a good, I think the limit was 8 months, if I remember correctly at the time. But we ended up living there for almost 16
No, but
months.
I don't think that's, is that just talking about your personal residence or any other residence? Because a lot of people just flip houses, right? They do like
So
the consignment sales and stuff like that. And are they going after them or kind of, are they going to look into that a little bit more? Because people aren't paying tax on that.
let me read what it says here. It says, for those who plan to sell a property that they've held for less than 12 months, the government will apply the full tax rate on their profits as business income starting in 2023. There will be exemptions for certain life circumstances. So that's what you were talking about,
Yeah.
including death, disability, a new job, or divorce. That would suck
Okay.
getting divorced right after buying a house.
Yeah.
That would be horrible. We will prevent foreign investors from parking their money in Canada by buying up homes, said Finance Minister Chrystia Freeland during her speech. We will make sure the houses are being used as homes for Canadian families rather than as a speculative financial asset. I mean, yeah. One thing I've always kind of been curious about is this new rise in real estate speculation, where you know people just buying up houses and trying to get a house because they know the market just keeps going up.
I mean, isn't that why we all bought houses? Because it was just like we needed it, but it's like if we wait too long, we might be priced out of the market. So, I mean,
I
I
mean,
understand that.
I feel like at the time that I bought the house, I would have bought the house regardless. We were looking to buy and move just because we
That's
wanted to move forward
the,
on the family situation, right?
But I
There
mean,
was definitely
even at that.
stress of if we don't buy now, the same house could cost us more in a year. So let's just park our money somewhere. So maybe if we didn't, we'd have
I
waited like a
mean,
few more months, but.
I mean, at those levels, at the real estate prices that we got in, fine. Even then, they seemed astronomical. But now I look at it, I'm straight renting. Like, I'd be like, I'm not getting into that game. I'm straight renting, and I'm gonna figure out how to make my money other
Somewhere else
ways.
and
Yeah,
but
man. Because it's like, unless you don't know how, or unless you think, I mean, it's a very Canadian notion that we need to own a house, or we
what's
need to own a car, or we need to. These are very North American concepts, right? So, like, you go to Europe, everyone's renting.
but who are they paying rent to? Like, there has to be,
Yeah, a landlord, right? But if it's,
and is it that much?
but
They're
yo,
probably balling then,
if
yeah.
I got a 2-bedroom condo in the 80s, man, I would not be letting that go right now. I'd be living the rest of my life, probably paying like $800 in rent.
Is it a European concept or is it a Punjabi concept that you got to own your house?
I don't know. It's a Punjabi
I always thought it was
concept.
a Punjabi concept. Punjabis are
No, because
big.
Punjabis are big about Jameen, right? But it's not like in India, they're buying 20 houses. You know, they get in and they get stuck. We don't have that thing about buying property. We have property in terms of agriculture, but not in terms of
No,
residential.
but I
You know,
think.
we're not buying complexes in Punjab and putting it up for rent. We don't do that, right? That's not, but here it allows us to do that. So I think it's the feeling of owning something.
That's
That
what I
that's
always
very
kind of,
Punjab. That's Punjabi, right?
like
So
every
we need to
Punjabi
own
person I know
something.
has always said, whatever you do, make sure do what you gotta do to buy the house as fast as you can. Like get, if you would have to live with your brother, if you have to live with your cousins, if you have to have lived with roommates, and you always hear it from uncles, huh? See, whatever, right? Like everyone did what they had to do to get that down payment to get their own
But was
houses.
it at that point was like, I mean, buying a house was seemed reasonable, right? You saved your pennies,
I think at that
you
time,
know, and
it
now you're
was.
just like you do people's incomes and you look at the price of the house. You're like, something's not equating. Like it doesn't. What was it? I just got an email for new houses up to 400, starting at 2.6 million. I'm like, that's supposed to be your kind of like sales thing
Selling.
to me. Like, oh, it's only 2 point. What's going on? Right? We grew up in the age where being a millionaire was a big deal. So if maybe it's a mental thing with us. It's like, oh, that's a lot of money.
What's
You know,
weird is when you crack that millionaire like net worth, and all of a sudden you're like, huh, not near as attractive as it was when I was a kid.
need to get my
Like
billion
my
now, right? That's
you're like, well, clearly this doesn't mean what it did when I was a kid, what I thought it would mean. I
Yo,
thought
but
it could
it's a lot
mean.
of, but it's a, but it's a lot of things like that. Like, you know, I think I was going to talk to about you about Chrystia Freeland's shoes. You know how the finance minister always buys shoes. I don't know. I don't get the tradition. Whatever, it's cool. Do your
So I
thing, right?
know
With I'm like, why don't they buy a cool pair of shorts?
But like, I think
pair of Jordans.
You know? I mean, but, that would be dope. But I remember with getting back
to the socks. Point.
Yeah.
Oh, was it socks? Okay. Well, getting back to the point, there was that, you know, like even now, you know, I was just talking to my wife about it. Like from Jordans to even backpacks. Like I had to get a backpack recently, and I'm like looking just for travel, and I can't get over like I'm like a backpack $70. $70. I remember back in the day, we're like, yo, $40 get you a solid backpack, right? It's just that there's a mental block there with me. It's not being cheap. It's just one of those things, like a pair of, like even now, look at a pair of Jordans. I'm like, man, those are nice, but they're too expensive. It's not that expensive, but I just can't get over the fact that a shoe is going to cost me like $200.
When I started working at a bigger tech firm, my second one, I bought a backpack for $200, I think it was around $200-$300. And I remember someone asked me, like, yo, that's a really dope backpack. Like, where do I get it from? How much it cost? I was like, $300. He was like, what the? He snapped. He's like, you paid $300 for a backpack. I'm like, bro, before you judge me on my, this $300 backpack, I don't buy too many backpacks. This backpack's going to last me a good decade, two decades. Two, yeah, it's a really good laptop bag.
That's okay.
Has
that's
all
that's
the compartments.
It's like, a work this is expense. The perfect.
Yeah, I was like, this is the type of backpack. And my wife was kind of shocked that I paid. She's like, it's not even leather. She's like, it's not even like a stylish backpack.
You should have been like, yo, I don't believe in killing animals. This is good. This is alternative.
No, but it wasn't even like a brand name bag. Like, it's not a Coach or anything, right? It was a tech company that made a backpack that was very tech heavy oriented. And I'm like, look,
are you still using the bag today?
Still my go-to backpack for life. Like, we travel, I'm like, this backpack is the best travel bag. It's the best everything bag.
How many years has it been?
I think it's on year six now.
You're good, man. At 10 years, that's only $30 a year.
I convinced two other people to buy it too, and they're like, yo, dude, you weren't lying. This backpack is legit.
Some things that cost, I bought a Tumi briefcase. This is really getting old.
Did you not move your mouse?
I was doing it.
I don't know what's going on.
It must be a way to turn off that feature. But I bought a briefcase, but literally I will use it for the rest of my life. Because it still looks like the day I bought it. Well, it's like a tech kind of, you know, laptop or whatever it is, bag. But you know what? It's almost...
Shoulder bag?
Yeah, man. Seven, 8 years and still fine. So, you know, never traded in. But some things make sense, but shoes, man, I just can't get over expensive shoes.
I've never been a shoe guy, but I know a lot of guys who are like sneakerheads, and they'll be like, oh, you know, I just paid $300 on these Jordans that I can't wear outside. And I was like,
yo, one of my patients, he's like telling me how to get, I'm like, yo, man, he had some cool Jordans on. I'm like, man, those are amazing. Every time I go buy them, they're sold out. And he told me all these like sites and like you can get on these lists and all that. I'm like, man, there's a subculture to all this, right? There's like a I know sneaker culture, but like even to get them, like there's this whole other method. I was like, man, that's too much work for me. And I'm not ready to pay the extra money to buy it on Stock or whatever it is, that website. So I'll wait.
StockX, yeah. And, I'm at that point where I really like my white Adidas with the blue stripes, like those classic Adidas.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
So I legit every 2 years I'll just go buy a new pair. I don't gotta think about it. I know I like the look of these. They seem to have lasted since the 70s. Let's just keep going with them.
Yeah, it's like people wear the Stan Smiths and they've been wearing them since high school, and that's their shoe.
So like the standard Adidas, and like when I go for runners, because my runner, if the toe starts wearing out or whatever, like they legit last me a good 4 years because I run very little, mind you. But when they wear out,
you mean your walking shoe.
But yeah, when I buy my new pair of walking shoes, I legit just walk into a store. Whatever they have in stock in my size is what I walk out with. Wow. There's no real thought on, hey, can this help me improve my vertical? I was just like, yeah, it looks coolish. It's nice, comfortable. Not too much going on here. I'm good. Keep it simple. Like New Balance, I'm already at the New Balance uncle age. I know Kwai tried to make New Balance cool again, but hipsters trying to make New Balance cool. They're always in
New
stock.
Balance, like if you're gonna get a good running shoe, you can get a good running shoe. I got my kids' New Balance shoes once, but
how they feel?
No, they were. You know what I couldn't get for my kid was half sizes in the toddler sizes, and the shoes were hurting her feet, and I'm like, New Balance of all places had it, so I bought her it. But I mean, my favorite running shoe is a Mizuno.
I don't even know what that is, to be honest.
You've heard of Mizuno, the company? Mizuno, Japanese company?
No.
Well, whatever. Exactly, right? No one's even heard of it. But, you know, you like what you like and what works is what works. But,
all right, getting back to this budget thing real quick. I know we got off on the shoes, but should we just stop spending? Is that like the actual solution? You can't. We need... Governments can only move in one direction, and that's their debt can only go up.
Okay, are we as a country saying what? I mean, what's the psyche of the general population? Does the debt scare the common Canadian? That's the question. You know, do we have this opinion that oh, we'll pay it off someday, and who's going to pay it off? Which generation? Someone's going to have to suffer along the way, unless we, as our economy is just incredible all of a sudden, which I don't see happening, but.
I think the debt's just accepted. It's your country's always going to go into debt. I don't know who we're paying the debt to. whoever it is China, still loaning us
China.
Money. I mean, whoever's still loaning us the money, good on them. Like, what's the point in trying to pay it off if you keep getting more money for it, right? Like, that's the whole argument about inflation and what's dollar worth. But look, you just keep kicking that can down. And I'm sure the banks keep making more money on whatever
interest. I don't mind... programs or spending or having initiatives, if you will, but it's how we spend it, the efficiencies, the way the money is being taken care of. I think that we need to improve. I honestly, they should dedicate a good portion of the budget to review all the expenditures in government and to find, you know, let's cut this back and let's find where there's wastage, because we all know in the public sector there's tons of wastage.
You know who ran on that campaign?
Yeah, but he failed. He failed, and he's doing it himself. So
hey, Mr. Dougler out there cut city council in half because he said you guys don't need half your people. And
we don't need half of what he does. Okay, him and a snow shovel. Look, I'm not. I'm not hitting.
He on, saved you know on what? A truck driver.
Let me be fair. Let me be fair to the Dougler. The Dougler, unfortunately, had to go through COVID. So I got to give him. That, you know, that pass, if you will. So if he does win again, which I think is probably likely, if
I'm a huge Dougler fan, I don't know if you guys noticed yet.
No, but I think we will see what happens in the next, you know, 4 years of stability, what he ends up doing. You know, it's both ways. You know, I'm sitting here saying we shouldn't spend and we shouldn't do this, but when they start cutting, we all scream. So, you know, it's the way they do it and how they kind of move those programs. But you know, it's great you're building these hospitals, but are you defunding healthcare? So
are you know just I don't know empty hospital, but
yeah, I mean, look, there's it's difficult. We don't want to pay for certain things, but we still, you know, if I think as a society or a community, if we decide on, let's say, healthcare, I mean, I'm only speaking from my perspective, is important. And as most people know, we went on strike this year and we found out that people did care. Then we should prioritize those things in the way we spend money as a government, or at least the programs that we have, or find efficiencies. And then other things, not so much. You know, they don't really matter. And I don't agree with the NDP. Just throw money at everything. Like he's saying, I was reading today that he felt like...
mental health?
Jagmeet felt like Trudeau's not going far enough. he needs to tax the rich even more. I'm like, all right, man. And what, spend it? So you're still spending money, right? The money needs to come from somewhere. So, you know, we can sit here and say, well, you know, don't spend and you should cut, or, you know, you need to spend. But I just think it needs to be efficient. There's certain systems that shouldn't be changed. I think the healthcare is the weird one. You know, if that's always a talking point in every election, fix it. You know, someone should come and fix it. Well, there's too much government involvement on that, right? So
there's this whole cool thing on our medical system, and it was basically something that doctors have been saying for a long time, and the media is only now really pushing this narrative, which was, we don't have a medical system of free healthcare so much as we have a system. Hold on, I'm not really phrasing this right, but the gist of it was that our healthcare system is designed to keep people sick. It's not a system that profits from getting people better. Mm. Like, doctors are making money off seeing patients multiple times, whereas our system should be more preventative, which it's not.
Yeah.
Like, we should be really
I know,
pushing
I
for.
understand what you're saying. Like, push the fact that the patient should be healthy from the get-go rather than be more of an end-stage system where we're just trying to treat the problem or say, like, fix the proverbial leaks in the system. But,
And a doctor went on the record, kind of, he
yeah.
wrote this whole thing that was crazy that the Globe actually picked up on. I'm doing an injustice by not bringing up the exact thing, so maybe next week we'll go
Okay.
more into that one
That's
specifically.
okay.
But it was very much so that the way the system is designed right now is people make money, hospitals make money based on the number of patients they can see, not based on how much money they can save the system.
I mean,
So.
so there are I mean I'll explain from my I mean people need to get paid, so let's put that aside. I mean, the argument that people make too much money, like there's always this argument that the surgeons, certain surgeons, you'll probably hear the top old hip list come out, and everyone's like, oh, it's an outrageous amount of money they're making. Hey man, I'm all for it. If you're a specialist and I know the detail and the knowledge it takes and you're doing good work, I have no issue. I think you should be paid, right? Because we should pay for your talent. That's why we want you here. And if the surgeries are technical, even more so, pay people, right? There should not be any issues with that, because if you're fixing something, and the only one I can talk about is cataract, obviously. People get really upset about it. I'm sure there are, a lot of ways we can save money in that as well. But I mean, you're talking about fixing the system or having people healthy, yeah, but some people just don't want to be, and that's what I'm trying to get at. There's just a portion of the population that no matter how hard you try on the one end, are still going to end up at the same spot where they need to keep coming back. Diabetes does not make why does your family doctor have to keep seeing you over and over and over again, right? To tell you to have better control. Why? You know this, but human psychology, we're not good at it. We're not good at certain things. And when we get sick, that's where we go running to the doctor, right? Cold and flu season, you think we'd be okay with that by now, But look, doctors are there to help people, but some people, no matter how hard you try, just will not help themselves. And so, yeah, you're saying, well, why are people coming in and we're charging them all the time? That's the system, Or then let's go for profit. Maybe
Wasn't
people
even so
take what,
much.
that's the American thing. Like, oh, well, it's a profit system and let's get away with public. In America, it's more advantageous for you as a citizen to be healthy, right?
Fair enough.
Because healthcare costs is astronomical. What does the general population there do? They're not healthy, right? It does, like, there you go. If I get sick, I'm gonna have to pay this insane amount of money to be taken care of.
And it
And
hasn't really
that's
dissuaded people, is what you're.
exactly is what I'm trying to say. Like, that whole narrative, no. What I think is that you can pay, if we appreciate it, we like healthcare and we want it to be paid for, then we pay for it, but we make it work better. Obviously there's tons of wastage, but to say that we're a for profit healthcare system, yeah, we are. People need to get paid. This is how the economy works. Nothing's free. Your
Well, I
taxes go to pay
mean,
people.
it wasn't.
Non-for-profits that exist in Ontario, their boards and directors are all being paid, right? Those are jobs. We call them nonprofits, but there's people that work there and get paid a
The
salary.
salary yet? No, I get
Yeah,
that.
that comes from funding, right? So, I mean,
The
I don't get the
argument,
notion of,
well, the argument so much wasn't that we're paying too much or we're giving. It was generally like, what if we reward doctors for the amount the patient doesn't come back rather than reward them for the number of. So now you're giving, making the care, you're making, putting the onus in for the doctor to really like push better sort of treatments.
I don't know, man. Humans are funny. If you work too quick on their healthcare, they'd say he was too quick. If you don't give him enough information, they say, oh, he's not a good doctor. If you help him, I mean, humans are funny like that. I don't know what the answer to that is, but I think if it's a clear, just like we were talking about the real estate, if everything's clear cut and transparent, and I think that's where tech's gonna have a big thing, right? Like, diabetes management, right? Why, eventually, hopefully, people have trackers that are sending automatic information to the doctor's file, and it's going through algorithms and AI. And when there is a problem, that's being prompted to the doctor to kind of take care of that, and it's all automated. So yes, less visits. There are ways that are going to happen in the next 20 years. The question: how does OHIP take care of that? How does OHIP implement that? And that's going to be interesting. And how much the government's willing to pay for it, right? So there are. I think the future, there is going to be a lot of technologies that will kind of streamline healthcare. You know, I keep talking about diabetics, but
well, we're seeing that with insurance now. I don't know if you've heard of like Manulife has a program called Vitality, where you're
rate... No, I haven't heard of it. Yeah,
so Vitality, they send you an Apple iWatch. No, it's just called Apple Watch, not the iWatch. I'm so frustrated. That's a boomer moment right there. But they give you they let you get a free Apple Watch, with the trade-off that as long as you're staying healthy and using the watch and you're tracking your steps, you're running, you're cycling, you're doing something within a certain threshold of activity a month, the watch is free.
You're being rewarded.
You're being rewarded. So they reward you on being active with this free Apple Watch, which is sending them the information of how active you are. And on top of that, they got like a bunch of different programs linked with it where you get free rewards. So you get like free Amazon Prime, you get...
It's kind of like the driving insurance ones as well, where they'll put a unit in your car to track how you safe drive of a driver you might be if you're being erratic, and based on that your insurance rates will fluctuate as well. So that's another example of you're saying basically being treated for good behavior, but
tracking good behavior, which is honestly what a lot of the vaccine anti-vaccine passport people were afraid of, is we're just moving to this social credit, because now offering up this social metric get these rewards.
It's funny that we need something in the physical world or some kind of reward system to activate that positive feedback loop, if you will. For health, be healthy. You know, that notion in itself should be enough. And I'm guilty of it, right? Like I'll eat something unhealthy and after I'm like, oh, I shouldn't have ate that. I know when I'm eating, it's not right, you know?
I mean, we're just creatures of habit. Like we're no different than a rabbit chasing that carrot, right?
Exactly, right?
It's like, just put up that reward and we'll work towards it. Quickly slipping off this for now. Sikh Heritage Month, Bhangra versus the whole Bhangra thing. How that?
Well, I mean, that's the debate. So, I mean, maybe you can enlighten me. What is Sikh Heritage Month?
Sikh Heritage
Month. I'll play kind of the Bhangra side, not completely, but in a different sense that you could play the other side. But define Sikh Heritage Month.
Sikh Heritage Month was something that came about when Jagmeet first got elected. It was something that everyone said, look, we have a giant Sikh population growing that is racially targeted, racially kind of motivated, has a lot of racial motivated attacks against. And it's a community that's been part of Canada from the get-go. Sir John A. Macdonald, the first Prime Minister of Canada, was sending letters to India asking for more Sikh soldiers. So it's saying, look, here's a visible minority that is a big part of Canadian history, more or less.
Yes.
Here's a month dedicated to them. Black Heritage Month or anything like
that. Well, that's fine. That's defined. When we say Sikh, do we mean community or do we mean religion?
I mean, Sikh, I think, always comes, that's the name of the religion, so it has to be...
No, when pertaining to the Heritage Month, are we talking about celebrating the community and all their endeavors, or are we celebrating just the concepts of the religion itself? There has to be a distinction of the two, right? For example, Black History Month, we celebrate prominent Black figures that have accomplished amazing feats in history. If we see in Sikh Heritage Month and a crazy, crazy cardiologist and we do a profile on him and say Sikh Heritage Month, that has nothing to do with religion.
Mm-hmm.
We're celebrating the fact that a fellow Sikh has done something.
The community is definitely then a big part.
Exactly, right? The community is a big part. Or if we celebrate, let's say, you know, Maharaj and Ranjit Singh, right? We celebrate the historical aspect. Well, let's not remember he was a tyrant. Killer, you know, he's ruthless. Nothing to do with the religion once again, right? But a prominent figure from our history that did inimaginable feats of success in terms of having the Sikh Empire, but has nothing to do with religion per se.
Maharaj Ranjit Singh.
No, I love him. I love him, but I don't like the concept that people think it was all kumbaya in those times, right? He killed other missiles to attain his power. And I celebrate that, not just the fact that, you know, he's a historical figure like anyone else. A prominent Sikh who accepted the fact that he wasn't a religious Sikh. you know, went to the Occultakt when he had to. Mm-hmm. But he wasn't the prominent figure in our religion, and he never pretended to be. You know what I'm saying? He wasn't the leader in religion per se. You know, other people from our culture, historical aspects, yeah, we celebrate them. Are we celebrating the fact that they are Sikh, they are part of the community? Are we celebrating them because they did acts within the religion? And I don't think it's the religion. And this is where it gets confusing with the Bhangra thing that came up. I do agree, the Bhangra, you know, is a distraction. I'm not going to pretend to defend it because there are better ways to highlight our community. I agree with you on that point. But the CBC doing this kind of thing is just highlighting Sikhs in parts of Canada. You know, identity, it's fine. Maybe the Bhangra wasn't a big deal. But this whole link, like, oh, you know, it's just Punjabi culture and it's this. Define what we're looking for. What is the month? And that's where my frustration comes from, always. So
look, even if it's just community, right? There is a way to say, look, Sikhs aren't just Punjabis. And so Bhangra isn't just
The Bhangra Sikhs are not Punjabis. I like that. Sikhs are not Punjabis. They're all over the world. It's just not Punjabis that we have to celebrate. But, you know, if there's a Sikh in another part of the world or you know, you have Goras, Sikhs and this and that.
I like how you keep going Sikh. It's so cringe right now. It's driving me crazy because you keep putting the double Sikh. E's. It's like, why can't you just call
you it Sikh? You want me to say Sikh? Yeah, it makes
my talking. I'm like trying my hardest to hold my tongue because it makes me physically cringe every time you say Sikh.
I can say Sikh. I can say Sikh. It's just me talking to other people. You know, it's at work when people ask me, right? Well, I can say Sikh. That's not a problem.
I don't know why it was such a visceral, physical, like, cringe every time you said
it. Because it's wrong. It's wrong. That's why it's a visceral reaction. But I don't see the harm in it. Maybe we can celebrate it in a better way. Mm-hmm. Maybe doing better highlights and stuff like that, but or maybe educating people. That's just not all we are. But definitely, like, there's no malice in it. There was no malice intent to you. And the way the reaction that you get, oh, how dare they? How dare they paint up? And come on, you're the same people dancing at the parties. I see all of you. I see you putting your hands up to Jazzy B songs. Don't act like you don't dance either, okay? We're part of a community, okay? And you're dancing to songs that go completely against the religion. So don't get at me. Listen to Tupac songs. I know all you, right? So like, it's the same people. But if it's not a religious month, I think it should be highlighted of successful Canadian Sikhs who have done amazing things, from the first immigrants to Bhagat Singh, the first World War I veteran. There's a lot that can be highlighted, but when you put the religion aspect of it, then it's a different conversation. You know, are we celebrating the religion? Let's celebrate the religion then.
You know what I think it really comes down to, in my opinion, and what really bugs me is for when they think Sikh, they have this animated character of a guy going, bale bale, hi hi, hands up, just Bhangra, right? Like, there is this character. 100%
there's this character. I think we're sensitive to that character.
We are sensitive.
I think we're ultra. I think we're sensitive, and it's not our fault. And I agree with you because our image has been misaligned through the generations. But I think there's a turning point in this country.
Exactly. You know, and I think that's the turning point that we're like, listen. Stop just equating Bhangra with Sikhs. Stop just making this our thing because we want to be known for more. And listen, the Bhangra thing, well, most Sikhs are doing Bhangra at their wedding receptions, right? Most Majority of Punjabis are Sikh and most Sikhs are Punjabi percentage-wise. At the same time, when we're highlighting who we are, don't make this that central thing that you want to highlight because we're tired of that being our character.
So once again, if we're celebrating, like I said, if we're celebrating prominent figures, okay. Celebrate prominent figures that will highlight successful people that will paint a different picture or different narrative about who we really are in this country. But if you're going to celebrate culture, now you get confusing. Now it really gets confused because you're like, okay, do we not have musical instruments? Do we not have language? Do we have certain cultural things that we have from back home? Now those are not part of the religion. Do they still get put into Sikh Heritage Month? Sorry, I'm going to say it right there. Sikh Heritage Month. That's the question. So like, to be so like angry at Bhangra, I get it. I'm just talking shit here, but I'm just trying to play the other side or at least have a debate. But my side from it is, okay, that's fine. But, you know, let's highlight everything about our people, you know?
I'm being devil's advocate. I'm going to play devil's advocate on my argument here.
Okay.
It was why the fuck can I remember this guy's name properly? I always say Gurdeep, but it's I think it's Gagandeep Pandey,
Okay.
or is it
Oh,
Gurdeep Pandey? The
the
dancer,
East Coast
the
dancer,
no,
the guy
not
you
he,
hate.
the guy. I don't hate anyone. I find him cringe at most times. No, he is from the Yukon. He's living out there in the Yukon, and he's been sending Bhangra vibes for every little thing, including the war on Ukraine. Made no fucking sense. Sending positive vibes via Bhangra to Ukraine.
No, but what's no big
The
deal, man?
CBC loves him, right? The
Oh,
CBC
yeah.
loves this guy, and they are
Because he's
highlighting
a
this Bhangra,
he's
the sick Bhangra
yo.
dancer who's sending vibes.
I'm down with a Sikh doing Bhangra and some positive vibes on CBC rather than Terry Molesky's constant report about you know what. So no, I'm okay with that. I don't have any issues. Yeah, maybe we tell the CBC, hey, it's great you're doing this outreach. Why don't you come and see what we do in Sikh Heritage Sikh Heritage Month and
I'm just happy I
maybe do
made
a
you remember
highlight piece.
saying it properly, but
Yeah, because at work I do it the other way. But funny enough, the perception that we have that, other communities think we're just this dancing turban fellow is not consistent. When I was in Scotland and the first day of my orientation where I met my fellow classmates, literally one of my best friends to this day came up, grabbed my arm, saying, "Hey, cut off 5 Ks, bro." Right? I just looked at him. I was like, "What?" And I'm like, "You learn about this?" And he told me everything from the gurus to everything. And I was in utter shock. He didn't say, "Hey, man, Bhangra." He didn't start dancing in front of me. He looked at the card and he goes, "Oh, I know what that means." So for me, it was like, "Oh, they don't always see that." Right? Now
See,
we're talking
me and
about
you had
here.
completely opposite interactions to this, because my first, it wasn't really a reaction, it was me applying for a security job at a prominent security company in the GTA. And when I
Who
went
shall not
in,
be named? Who shall
I will
not be
not
named?
name them because I don't have my legal counsel here to protect me. Even though this was a factual event, this actually did happen. I don't have much documentation around it though. So, anyways, I go in for the interview. Guy sees me. He's like, oh, you're one of them Punjabi Sikh guys. I was like, yeah, I'm, thinking, hey, I recognize your kind from your turban and thing. So, do you beat your wife? What? Yeah, I got a bunch of sick women here. They tell me their husbands beat them, and I was like, fuck, this interview's not gonna go
Yeah,
good,
but that's
right?
one that's one idiot.
But I mean, this was my first
That's
like outside
yeah, but I
reflection
mean
on our
that's a
community.
that's an idiot who, I mean that's a tip. What was he? What was his background?
He's white. He's like the old white cop who was heading the security company now. And I was like,
Yeah,
oh,
I don't
I
take
got the
their
job, right? But at the same time, I was kind of like, who told him all this? And
I'll take one for the team. I got the job. It's good.
I mean, yeah, but at the same time, I was like, man, because I mean, and it's not to downplay the issues in our community because we do have a lot of this stuff going on, drinking abuse and all alcohol abuse, and we do have spousal abuse. These are all real issues.
Yeah, those are look, those are internal
But when
community issues. But you know what happens is when the good things of our community, we keep those internalized. We do great things, but we don't expose the world to that. And yeah, we're not good at that. I'm not good at that. I mean, a lot of people aren't good at that. But like those Instagram videos where someone takes off their pug to save someone from a river. I don't know how many countless ones I've seen now. But I ain't mad at that. Some people are mad at them. Like, hey man, it paints you in a better picture, better light. Go for it. Like, that's not a bad thing. We should promote it. Or, guys like the defense minister when he's those are big deals, right? That like there's an image that people are getting accustomed to. When they see a Sikh, they're not sick, sorry, they're not thrown back.
There's all the
I'm
time
gonna
that
keep
guy's
laughing at
security
that, yeah. Now you got me cringing that I'm saying it. It's like saying a certain word I shouldn't say. But like identity wise, I think it is a big deal because we're recognized not just on a cultural aspect though, like the one you highlighted, but they will say prominent people, and hopefully that's what that Heritage Month does. I just don't think we should be caught up in such little things about the CBC displaying Bhangra. Okay, then we should display better things. Let's be honest. We should have more positive stories. We should go out there and do that and highlight the CBC or invite them. But don't get mad when a bunch of upper and get across the country and get approached by the CBC and like, yeah, we'll do it. That's awesome. Let's get to. It's positive. It's not men in malice and to come out against it. That's where I was thrown back. I'm like, cool. Maybe a different light. But really, the anger? I don't know, man. It's not, you got to pick. If it's religious, then stop using figures from history that weren't religious. Simple as that. You know, that's my take on it. Pick, is it religious or is it cultural? But you have to decide what it is. It just can't be one or the other, right?
All right. All right, moving on quickly. I'll give you the last word on that one. Musk bought up Twitter. Not bought up Twitter. He bought 9.7%, makes him the highest shareholder in this.
Yeah, he bought it. He basically bought it. Wasn't he I think he was speaking about free speech. It was a few weeks back saying, you know, maybe there's a need for another platform. And he just says, forget it, and he just buys one. So what's your take? What do you think?
I think it's dope. So, like I said, one, we have this really weird perception of free speech when it comes to private companies. Twitter is a private company. It's a platform. It's not a right amended to us to be able to post whatever we want on it. You post people getting beheaded on Twitter. You can't say, well, it's free speech. I'm just sharing what's going on in the world. Twitter has a liability. They have obligation to censor certain types of content. Pirated content, companies aren't able, people aren't just able to like post a 5,000 tweet movie thread sharing every single clip without the DMCA coming after a tweet. And to a certain degree, as we've seen, misinformation and the way lies can be peddled and cause harm, where people read these things and they act on them physically, you know, kidnapping politicians or bombing maybe a group at a mosque or taking over a gurdwara and shooting it up based on the information they read on these platforms. I think the platforms themselves do have a certain responsibility when it comes to quelling disinformation, quelling lies, quelling conspiracies. They can't be seen just as, well, you know, we're just a platform and anyone can post on it. And to a degree, I kind of feel like I'm not pro-censorship, but there's responsibilities that come on you for...
Yeah, but that's okay. I agree with you. I don't know why people always complain. Oh, you know, they banned me for saying free speech. It's their company. They can do whatever they want. Like, you know, sometimes there's been situations in some of the stores I work in where people come in, they get in a fight with some of the staff and the owner proceeds to kick them out. And they're like, oh, this is wrong. It's against the law. It's a private store. Like, you can't act like the way you want. If they don't like it, they can kick you out. You know, these are private... These are private businesses and you have to be respectful. Where I think, I mean, if someone's, I mean, is this even possible to create, I guess like open source kind of thing, like just a website that no one owns. And it's just that you can post whatever you want on it. The problem with Twitter, they're making money off it, right?
That's why they're liable.
But if you just had some random website out there where you can just post whatever you want, it's just a bunch of junk, like a spray painting on a wall. I'd be like, yeah, that's free speech. Do whatever you want.
You're describing 4chan basically to a T, right? That's what 4chan was.
But did someone own it?
It was owned by a company. Their whole thing was whatever. They created a bunch of boards.
But 4chan is where a lot of that QAnon
stuff exists. Where a lot of like the conspiracy theories really floated on was 4chan was a big place where a lot of this kind of.
No, but there was still, what I'm saying, it's not like just a straight, you know, text board. Owned it. That's still an app. Someone really still monitored it, right? Or at least is operating it. I'm just saying if there was some free space, like a wall, and you wanted to do whatever you want, cool. Because you can say whatever you want to at the end of the day. No one can really stop you. But
the way 4chan operated was very much like that, other than, there was someone who paid the hosting fees and stuff.
That's what I mean. It's still owned by somebody, right?
Yeah, advertising was very much...
targeted.
It was not so targeted. It wasn't like you wouldn't see a Ford ad up on that website. It would be very like shady websites.
Dark web.
Weird way 4chan was considered part of the dark web. There's been decentralized solutions where no one owns control of like the thing, so you could get away with doing anything, and they try to come up with other ways to reward or penalize bad actors. And stuff, which was more community driven, not so much from a central authority.
Yeah, like no one's dictating the rules. The communities come up with the terms.
But none of those platforms really move, right? Because the tech that needs to work, like Twitter, the amount of data Twitter handles, what was it? It's like a million tweets a minute.
That's crazy.
Like the amount of data that's going through their systems at all times, that, and it's only ever getting bigger because they're archiving it all, right?
It costs money, is what you're saying. It costs money. So
even on these decentralized platforms,
when you sign up for the user agreement, surely if you read it,
which no one does,
ever double clicks that. They're within their rights, and I don't see why everybody complains about free speech. If you don't like it, you're free to go out on the road and start yelling what you want. You know, go ahead. You have free speech. You just don't like in the fact the avenue or the media you have to take to get to say what you want. So,
and I think Twitter's tried to play it very, very carefully. But I think what really started ticking people off was during the Trump administration is when they really started to level it up, because they're like, we have to, because that's his platform of choice. Where they would comment
it was on his tweet. Well, he's using it for real world changes, right? He's saying something, something would happen, or
so they'd have
to get people doing some wild, crazy stuff. And you saw the real power of Twitter with Trump. I think that's that's the reality, right? You saw, you can actually do something with it. But I mean, talking about Trump, supposedly his platform is not doing too well. I didn't even knew he had a platform until today. But
what was it called? I forget you remember.
I have no idea what it's called, but it's failing. So, you know,
I mean, here's hopefully, the thing that people don't realize.
Is that a surprise with all it was all his other businesses have failed? We're not surprised, are we?
No, not. I mean, the thing with all platforms, it's you're not going to make a platform of where it's just you yelling at people. There has to be like more of an incentive to be using or go on a platform.
I honestly thought he was gonna. I thought he was gonna make a TV a TV network.
I think
he did. And just have like that would be smart. Like or like have some, you know, buy Fox and have a good share in that. And you know, I'm gonna have an hour show at night to talk to America. Like I would have been like, all right, smart play. But I don't see him succeeding in anything. So
it was no surprise.
No surprise to me that it failed. Come on, what hotels, like the stakes to what are the water company and the Apprentice and the let's not forget the presidency. Not too much success on his end, right? So not a surprise.
Yes. I mean, at the end of the day, I just don't... Freedom of speech isn't a guaranteed right for private businesses. You're allowed to stand on the corner and say, I guess, everything you want. And everything back, you want. And I think someone can come punch you in the face for it. I think that's fair game, too.
This guy's still defending Will Smith. Still defending Will Smith.
Well, I came up recently with Ronaldo again this week. We'll get to that in a minute. Every platform I use, I've never really been like, I have the ability to do whatever I want on this platform. I'm using your platform. You get to dictate
what it is I say or do. You know what it is? There's this kind of, you can call it a psychological thing with humans or just the way we are in terms of our own social circles. Let's say you're posting on Twitter. There was always this one thing, you know, like not to embarrass yourself, right? In Punjabi, Sharm Honi Chahidiya, right? Like, there's always this little bit of thing where you're like, yo, I can't go too far. And I think that's with everybody. That's just not a culture thing. Most humans have that. So the only ones on Twitter would be like those like fake accounts and burner accounts that are, you know, saying things and saying inflammatory things. Trump was the first guy
Do it under his own name.
And just went, hey, you know what? I'm gonna go full on this, full send. Let's go. And that's what I think surprised Twitter and the whole social media aspect. Even Facebook, they're like, oh, you know, this is gonna be thrown back in our faces, and hence the clampdown. You know, there's always this one thing. Oh, someone's not gonna embarrass themselves too much, you know, on Twitter, say the wrong thing because it can have ramifications for them in their own private life. For example, politicians. Mm-hmm. But Trump just threw that to the wind and said, no, let's go, you know, LFG.
And he got elected for it. And
he got elected. So like that, it changed that whole like aspect of social media for me, right? Like anyone can get on. And some politicians try to follow suit. You got that, what's her name? Marjorie something from Georgia, who just is literally trying to be the female version of Trump. But it's opened the door to that kind of, I can say whatever I want because, you know, free speech. And there's no ramifications as long as people vote for me. So kudos to Trump, I guess, for doing something.
Opening the door. I mean,
opening the door.
Kind of moving on this thing. I remember we haven't talked about Pierre and Brown and the...
Oh, PP. His new nickname, Mr. PP. PP.
So yeah, I don't know if you've been seeing this, but this guy's been like packing his halls with like legit people, not just like paid actors that, you know, Punjabis are known for to do, like bringing everyone they know. He's legit getting a lot of attention in all the different areas he's going. People want to be around this guy. hands down was the favorite.
Was he part of the Muslim Hotline? He voted for it, right?
He probably did.
End of story. I don't know why all these people are around this guy. So have some sharm, right?
He may have apologized for it since, but I mean, this guy has so much traction. It's hard to not. I knew he was a front runner for a while.
He has that voice. He has that great, like, it's the way he's talking. He seems like he knows what he's talking about. And it honestly, when I listen to it, I hear an actor. I'm listening to it like, yeah, he's valid points. But would you trust that man going into battle? That's my question.
Is he Zelensky?
Yeah, no.
I mean, are you saying you're just Trudeau going into battle?
Zelensky's an actor.
That's a comedian, right?
That guy's a G, you know?
But I mean, we have a drama teacher. Do we follow him in the war?
Well, he was good at drama, remember? He had makeup class.
And, he was really good at makeup.
He's very good in the makeup department. But no, not following him to war. It's just like, I mean, Trudeau, fair enough, is Trudeau what I consider Trudeau in the same? Not no more. You know, I think when he was getting voted in, there was a lot of optimism and the way you give him a pass on the way he talked because it was all like, you know, this big rush of excitement with the guy. But now it's like, yeah, you know.
See, now I can understand.
The
way Trump got in makes a lot more sense. I don't know if Obama was as hated as Trudeau is.
Dude, Obama was at the White House the other day and he was speaking. I was like, man, this guy is just like
above and beyond.
Just charisma. Just the charisma, man. You're like, yeah, I'd follow you, man. Tell me where to go.
It's just weird, though. Like, I remember the hype Trudeau had before the elections, before it all. And now it's just kind of like, I legit want to vote conservative just to get him out and get that whole cabinet out. Because I just don't agree
with it. Change is not a bad thing. So you're right on that. But his kind of shine, if you will, kind of, or he's kind of wore off once the script went away. He's very good at a script. Trudeau's great at that. Like, he has his script down. He does that kind of caring voice. But you start asking him questions and it wears off, right? And that's what's kind of starting to show, that the script is great. He knows how to act like it. But, you know, compared to these other guys who are going to come in, they're going to do the complete opposite. PP's going to do the complete opposite of him, right? PP's going to be there like, just seem like the strong man in the room. That's what he's going to do. And that's the way he acts. So,
like, I will vote PP. I'll vote PP. I'm such a loser.
It's a great name, PP.
I'd vote PP.
I'd vote.
There's very few conservatives at this point that I wouldn't vote for. I didn't want to vote for O'Toole because I had a personal thing against his Sikh hotline that he tried to introduce.
He what? A Sikh? Sikh or Sikh?
Sick.
But he called it a Sikh hotline. He called it a Sikh hotline.
It wasn't even a hotline. He was just like, I don't even remember the motion he tried to pass, but it was very much we are against radical Sikhs and stand with all like peace loving Sikhs. And we're like, what the fuck you mean radical Sikhs? What radical Sikhs are you against right now?
Oh, that's what? Yeah, that's the same. Is it Priti Patel,
the UK
home minister? Home
yeah, such a weird thing, out of.
I mean, it's something easy to say, right? They get paid to say it. So,
yeah, so once he did that...
Paid and not money, but in some way they get something from it.
When he tried to make that like members bill, I was like, you know what, Mr. O'Toole? Fuck you. But hold on.
Did PP do the Muslim hotline?
I mean, I can look that up.
Because that should offend you. It should offend you. It should offend all of us.
Yeah, it should, but I hate the liberals to the point where this is where I understand why Trump came in power.
Do you hate the liberals or their leader?
I just can't stand the liberal policies right now. I just feel like they're taking advantage of us and treating us like idiots to the point where I just don't want to see them in power anymore.
I think what's going to happen if Trudeau loses the next election, liberals, hopefully, and my sense is they'll go a bit more centrist. That, you know, the motion to the right. I think it is. It's too left-leaning, man.
I've never even felt... I felt like they were just lying and constantly making dumb moves that don't really justify...
It just sounds like they say the right thing. Well, I mean, most politicians do.
I just feel so tricked by them. It's not even that I'm all of a sudden anti-liberal. I mean, get a proper liberal leader. It's not that I'm, you know...
Well, look, down like, with the PP remember, and all I that. Mean, but I think
I was PP. I had such high hopes for the Liberal Party when they came in that now it's just like, bro, you've embarrassed me enough, made me feel like enough of an idiot for supporting you. Let's just get the Conservatives in there one time and clear house.
I mean, look, we we always assume that, you know, the political leaders we elect, the Dougler, Trudeau, PP, are the smartest
people. I'm loving people. Dougler right now.
are the smartest people in the room or have the brightest ideas.
You're telling me the Dougler does it right now?
The older I get, I just think they're normal people, right? I think this is a job opportunity. But I hope the people they surround themselves with
are
of certain caliber that they'll get some work done. So even the leadership, I'm not into it anymore. I mean, I'm getting kind of, I don't even care. Be it PP, be it JT, be it the Dougler, be it whoever you want, Patrick Brown, PP, what it is. But, you know, in the end, it's going to be, is it really going to change is my question. You know, look, if the conservatives come in and they do it, hey, I'm conservative, done. They did something right. Cool. Right. If the liberals had done something great in the last year, you would have been kind of, yeah, all right, I'm all right with their policies. Nothing's connecting, right? Nothing's connecting. And that's what's happening. And Jagmeet is now like, I did something with power. So I don't know what planet he's living on, but, you know, look, you know, people think the dental care thing is great. Sure. Cool. Let's talk about other issues that are going to affect every single person. I don't think that's going to affect everybody. It's only going to help a little bit of people.
Fair enough. All right. Quickly going to Bonded of the Week because it's become such a thing. I know. So I don't know. Is Ronaldo really Bonded of the Week for slapping a fan's phone out of their hands?
To be fair, just full disclosure, I couldn't actually think of a Bonded of the Week this week. It's been pretty quiet on my end of things, but you brought up Ronaldo. Was it a fan?
Yeah. So Everton fan. He's leaving the pitch and then he just messed up his leg.
Yeah.
So he's kind of like limping off and, you know, fans are heckling him as he walks off. One guy has a phone pretty close to outreached over the stands and Ronaldo just slaps it out. It was pretty vicious. It was his family.
Yeah. Okay. That's,
I mean, he didn't do it. Like he didn't look up, even make eye contact where he slapped it out. He just slapped it out as he could.
He had a moment of frustration and, did he apologize?
He apologized on Instagram.
He probably bought, but Ronaldo's a pretty stand up guy, man. I don't think he's,
he bought the guy a new iPhone, I'm sure, but
yeah, he probably bought him more than that, but, look, he wasn't defending his wife who says she didn't want him to defend or marry him in the first place. So, he's not that much of a bunder to me. Will Smith is the eternal king of bunders right now.
I don't think it was a bunder move. I like I said, man, you piss people off. I think violence is a necessity sometimes.
The boy needs help, brother.
I don't know. I'm still not over this. I still have so many people messaging me telling me how wrong I was.
You're so senti on the Will Smith stuff.
And the end of the day, I really could care less what happens to Will Smith.
He's just another idiot like all of us. Okay, that's the truth. He's not this guy shining.
Y'all never got into fights in middle school or.
Yeah, bro. I never went on my graduate. Look, listen. I never went up on the stage when I was getting my diploma and punched the chancellor or the principal in the mouth. Say, yo, keep my name out of your mouth, right? Like, come on. Like, there's just times where you might be angry, and I'm gonna deal with it later, right? There's ways to deal with things, and he.
Y'all never got offended when people made mom jokes and shit, man. I remember so many fist fights broke out over mom jokes.
What? So Will Smith till the end, man. You're gonna. That's the sword you're gonna die on, eh?
I'm just saying.
That's the one. You didn't hold my feet against the fire on the Sikh or the Sikh Heritage Month, but the Will Smith one, man. You perked up and you're ready to fight me. So
I'm just saying. The Bonded of the Week, with Ronaldo being Bonded of the Week, I was trying to ask, is he Bonded of the Week for this? Because in my mind, he's not.
I don't think it's really
a Bonded of the Week, but I mean, I was also a fan of like that Indiana Pacer brawl when they went after the fans for throwing pop at them. Like, you know what? You need to do that. You need to put those.
Yeah, that was wrong though. Like there's rights and wrongs. Ronaldo was wrong, but I don't think it was. It was when he was leaving the pitch. In a moment of frustration, a fan got in his face. And there's been cases like that in football or soccer, whatever you want to call it, where there'll be someone who runs onto the pitch and there's other guys, there's Latin and all these other guys, will punch him in the face, right? Like they don't believe in that kind of, you know, this is our place to work, don't come on the pitch. And the fan should know better too, right? So they're kind of asking for it in that way. But come on, man. Chris Rock made a joke about G.I. Jane. It's a G.I. Jane joke, bro.
It was a funny G.I. joke, Jane. Too. I'm not even mad at the joke.
It was a good joke.
I'm not even mad at the joke, I won't lie.
Yeah, what you got to ask is those things that are losing their hair, if they felt sensitive to that joke.
Yeah, I guess that's our next
And if they don't feel sensitive, you got no reason, bro. You got no reason.
I'm just saying, I don't think I'll ever win this one. Anyways, this episode went super long without hairless Ranjit, so it shows that we can hold a conversation without his freaking bald ass.
Now, Ranjit has the right to hit you in the face if he wants to, for saying
Listen,
that.
Man, if he came and punched me in the face for that, I'd be like, stop being so sensitive. But I would take it. I'd be like, yeah, I probably had that coming still.
Fair enough. On that note.
Right. On that note, nothing to plug. Everyone just keep hitting people up to listen to us, because I don't know. I don't know why you would want someone to listen to us, man. That's almost like punishment.
Yeah, I don't know. But this is more therapy for us than it is for you, so listening to our torture, yeah, that's fine.
Hold on. You want to really show these guys how you're holding your mic this episode? This is the greatest thing.
DIY cup, man.
This guy put his microphone in a cup to prevent it from flipping over and give it some height. A cup, a glass.
Hey, man. Call me Tim the Two-Man Taylor. Just
another man everyone tried to cancel, but hey. On that note, I thought it was brilliant.
The character was fine. Maybe not the actor.
Yeah. All right, boys. All right. Everyone, thank you for making it this far in the episode. If you did make it this far in the episode, please hit that like button just so we have an indication of how many people actually got this far.
Subscribe.
Hit that subscribe button on Spotify, on your podcast app, and especially on YouTube, because we're trying to get that YouTube money, baby.
Even if you didn't like us, subscribe. Tell us why you don't like us. We'll still take it.
No, I might want to slap you in the face for it, but that's a whole different
thing. Anyways, be safe, everybody. Peace. Have a good week.